eternal and ever blessed God, our Father who is in heaven, we thank you that you have spoken to us and you have given us the Holy Bible, your word. God, we pray that you may grant us faith and increase our faith, that we may see wonderful things out of your word. The Bible, your word, is just so wonderful. It is because of our spiritual blindness that we do not see more. So, Lord, we pray that you may open the eyes of our understanding, that we may see and see more clearly on every page of your word, your beloved Son, and salvation in Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now let us turn back to Genesis chapter 22. And tonight we're going to consider the first 19 verses. And I want to remind you that this event happened some 2,000 years before our Lord Jesus. And the Hebrew text here, the original text, word for word has been preserved. We can go to the local synagogue in Maruba. I'm not suggesting that you should. But there, in the Hebrew text, in the Torah scroll, would have this chapter. So let me read to you verses 1 to 2. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. As we step into this chapter in our studies of the life of Abraham, we are conscious that we are standing on holy ground. This is the most magnificent and significant chapter, not just in the book of Genesis, but in the whole of the Bible. Tonight we are going to see the magnificent faith of Father Abraham. And we are going to see this chapter's great significance of how it foreshadows the sacrificial suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to consider this chapter under three headings: the sacrifice of the Father, the obedience of the Son, and the provision of the Lord. And I do believe that this chapter, the first 19 verses, falls naturally into these three headings. Last Sunday night, we look at the sad departure of Ishmael and Haggai, how Ishmael could not stay on in the family because he was going to do harm to the promised seed, Isaac. Both of them could not be the promised seed, and to preserve Isaac, sadly, Ishmael and his mother Haggai would have to go. And it was a heart-wrenching experience for Abraham, but God said, listen to your wife, Sarah. They have to go. Undoubtedly, sometime later, Abraham will be comforted to hear that actually Ishmael and Haggai were doing okay. They not only survive, but they thrive. So we could imagine that Abraham seeing the steady growth of Isaac, the promised seed, growing day by day, so obedient, so full of faith like him, he'll be so delighted. And Abraham will be filled with joy and gladness and peace. And we surmise that Abraham will be thinking, well, now my life is more or less over. I'm going to just leave and die without too much struggle anymore. Well, happy retirement, so to say. Until one day, the greatest test in his life came upon him. It could well be, my dear friends, that as you and I get older, we are to be tested more. And that test of a lifetime came to him from that familiar voice of God. We're told in verse 1, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. God did not speak to Abraham every day, not even often. But God has spoken to Abraham a number of times at the critical junctures of his life, and Abraham was as sure as the voice of God as his own existence. There's no mistake. It's the Lord God who spoke to him, but what was said shattered Abraham's whole being. In verse 2, God said to Abraham, take now your son, your only, and the word son is in italics, that means it's not in the original text, but added there for understanding. So literally is, take now your son, your only Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Every word here cuts to the very depth of the being of Abraham. Take now your son, your only Isaac, whom you love, and what? Offer him as a burnt offering. The entire Isaac has to be burnt up. It's a whole burnt offering. All of a sudden, Abraham was to be tested to the uttermost. God is asking him, do you love me more than this? In James chapter 1, James tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. What? When we suddenly fall into various trials, we are going to count that as all joy? Yes, why? Because we know in the Christian life, there's no wasted suffering. The testing of our faith will produce endurance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You got the picture? If need be, it's not in our program, it's not in our diary, it's in God's plan. If need be, for a little while, though it may seem to be lifelong, we should be grieved by various trials, different kinds of trials, so that the genuineness of our faith may be tested by this fiery trial. So that after we are tested, and by the grace of God, it proves that our faith is not fake, that we are real believers, that we are not just fair weather Christians, as John Bunyan would say. We come to know the certainty of our relationship with God. My dear friend, we tremble to think a similar trial would come upon us one day. That the Lord should see fit to take away our nearest and dearest. But I look you in the eye. I know already some of you have experienced this. And you knew how you felt to have the nearest and dearest to you taken away in God's providence. And it was terrible. It was difficult. But then, by God's grace, you know your faith is genuine, and that you have a better endurance. Some of you know Ian and Alicia McQueen in Bondi. They gave me this book written by their daughter Claire. It's an account of how their daughter coped with the illness and the death of her daughter. I have not read it. It's called Fingerprints of Grace. The reason I've not read it is because I haven't got the time, and also I want to read it with all my concentration. A young mother experiencing the lingering illness of a dear 2 or 3 years old, and her testimony. God's promise to us is that as our day, so shall our strength be. The Lord may come to us this question: do you love me more than this? As Peter says in his first chapter, whom having not seen you love? My dear friends, what is asked of us who believe in Christ is to love Christ whom we have not seen. We have not seen Christ with our physical eyes, but by faith we can see him. Now for Abraham, in this greatest trial of his life, he passed this test with flying colors, so to say. You remember, Abraham failed before, did he not? At least twice. Abraham's faith was not universally magnificent. It was steady, but not always magnificent. He had his moments. Abraham too had fits of clay, so to say. He could be frightened into telling really shameful lies. But this time, again by God's grace, his faith was just so magnificent. By this time, he has been walking with the Lord God for something like 40 years. It was quite a discovering for him. Not just quite a discovery, that would be a terrible understatement. Abraham came to know the living and true God, the Creator God, not like those gods way back in Ur of the Chaldeans, those idols. This God is moral. He's upright. He cannot tolerate lies. He's holy. And it's mighty. He can even give a child to a 100-year-old man with his 90-year-old wife. And Abraham's friendship with the Lord has been steady. His trust in God by now is firm. So much so that at the end of this text, in verse 12, Genesis chapter 22, God can say this to him. Now I know that you fear God. Not that God did not know beforehand, but Abraham has passed the test. Now I know that you really worship me and believe in me because you have not withheld your son, your only, from me. My dear friends, when you and I are willing to let go the dearest and nearest to us, we know, we do believe God. No wonder in Romans chapter 4, Abraham is called the father of all those who believe. We call Abraham our father, our spiritual father. He's the father of all who believe. And friends, we are called to follow the footsteps of the faith of Abraham. Notice, his faith leads on to immediate action. God said to him, you notice, take now your son, your only Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah to offer him up as a burnt offering. What did Abraham do next? Did Abraham spend the next few days or week pleading with the Lord, saying to God, no, how can you take away my son? Take me instead. I'm 100 and something. I'm ready to die. But this child is still young. How can you take him like that? And this Isaac is the promised seed. If you take away Isaac, if you got killed, how will your promise to bless all the nations be fulfilled? It's just impossible. No, Lord. Have you spoken wrongly? How about you take me? Take Sarah as well? Take my cattle? Take everything but spare Isaac? Did Abraham spend 40 days and 40 nights pleading of the Lord? You remember, Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah and almost did a bargain with God. But this time, what did he do? Verse 3. Abraham rose early in the morning. Wow. Abraham was an early riser. Anyone here who sleep until too late? Well, listen. Abraham got early the next morning. He didn't sleep in. What did he do? He saddled his donkey. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. You notice? He not only got up early the next morning, but he prepared the donkey, he called his servant, he took his son Isaac, and he split the wood. He did it himself. He didn't ask his servant, well, prepare some wood for the offering. He did it himself. I'm going to obey God to the last detail. I'm going to split the wood myself. And he got up and went. Wow. Immediate obedience. Oh, that we may be like Abraham. When we are facing some temptation or sin and you know that it's wrong, what do? Lingering? Playing with the temptations? Sinning a little but not too much? What do? What should I do? Be like Abraham. God said no, he said no. God asks us to do something. You know it's your duty. You know that it's in God's providence. What you have to do, what do you do? Don't say, well, wait until next week. Like Abraham, do it immediately. So they make the journey. Verse 4, on the third day, they got where they near what they should be. We are told on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder and worship. And we will come back to you. What shining faith. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And we will come back to you. We will come back. We will come back. It's radiant faith of Abraham. How could they come back? How could Isaac come back? Well, follow on. Verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. What affection between father and son. Parents here, when was the last time your children call you my father? Or my mother? All we parents, we feel so happy when our children call us mom, dad. We feel so joyful. But Isaac had this affection for his father. He called his father my father. Well, try that, dear young people here. Call your father not just dad, but my father. And Abraham replied, here am I, my son. Oh, the affection between father and son. We can imagine how Abraham would love Isaac, but it was a reciprocal love. Isaac loved his father deeply. You are my father. You are not just dad. You are my father. You are mine. And Isaac asked, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. I must embarrass my wife. It was this afternoon, as she was preparing for the sermon tonight, look at the text, and she told me, hey, God will provide. It's literally, God will see to himself in Hebrew. I said, well, I better check out your Hebrew. So I pull out my iPad and here the computer, and I have two most powerful Bible software. Yes, yes, my wife is correct. Literally, the emphasis is on God. God is funded. God will see to himself. God will see to himself the lamb for burnt offering. What faith? What faith? God will see for himself. So the two of them went together. We wonder what would Abraham be thinking as he and Isaac walked up Mount Moriah. What would Abraham be thinking? How would he feel? Well, we don't know all about how he felt. Was he agitated? Was there a struggle in his heart? Well, when we come to Hebrews chapter 11, we have the New Testament information about how Abraham felt. Look at verses 17 and 19. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. This is God's commentary. It's God's revelation to us. What was Abraham thinking? Abraham was thinking like this: Isaac is the promised seed. In Isaac shall all the nations be blessed. This is the promised child. And now God has commanded me to offer Isaac up as a whole burnt offering. That means I have to kill him. I have to burn him up. That means he's going to die. And if Isaac should die, how could God's promise be fulfilled? But surely he's going to die. This is God's command. So Abraham reasoned. Abraham is a very logical man. He reasoned, if Isaac is going to die, and if he is going to be the promised seed, if the whole world is going to be blessed in him, so it must be that after his death, he'll be raised. That's the logic of Abraham. You know, Abraham believed in the resurrection of his son, the promised seed, the son of Abraham. Abraham's faith is the faith in the resurrection of the son. And my dear friends, that is us of you and I. We are not only to believe Jesus to be the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us, who died for our sins. We are to believe in the resurrection of the Son of God after his death. So friends, we see, first of all, the sacrifice of the Father. Abraham the Father is here willing to sacrifice anything, everything to God. But then let's move on. The obedience of the Son. In this chapter, we see the quiet, docile, but no less magnificent obedience of the Son. Oh friends, do you not know that there are some children who are very obedient? Yes. They will do anything, whatever the parents say. Is it really? Do such children exist in this world? Oh yes. Can't you see it here in Isaac? Look at verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. As they were going up Mount Moriah, sooner or later, or after they got there, Abraham had to tell Isaac what he was going to do. How old was Isaac? He was old enough for Abraham to say to him, "You carry the wood. I carry the knife and the fire." He was not a 5-year-old. He was not a little toddler running everywhere. He was a youngster, maybe 15, 16 years of age. How old was Abraham? He was 100 when Isaac was born. So by now he'll be 115. Now what would you do if you were Isaac? You were 15, 16 years old, and your 115-year-old father say to you, I'm going to tie you up, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to offer you as a whole burnt offering to God. What would you do? And can you not run away? Surely you can. But Isaac did not run away. He obeyed his father. Yes, he obeyed his father. Some 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah, in his 53rd chapter, prophesied about the suffering servant of the Lord. And this is what Isaiah says in verse 7 of Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He, the suffering servant of the Lord, the Son of God, opened not his mouth. He was obedient. Paul tells us about the obedience of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Christ, the Son of God, was obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Isaac obeyed Abraham, his father, to the point of death, even the death of a whole burnt offering. He opened not his mouth. He didn't argue. He didn't fight. He didn't rebel. Like so many martyrs in the long history of the church, that they went to their martyrdom. Some of them were burnt at the stake in complete composure and quiet confidence. They let themselves be bound and ready to obey God to the point of death, even the death of the fire. So we have considered the sacrifice of the Father and the obedience of the Son. The friends, the most important thing here is the provision of the Lord. Verse 10. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. For the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And the angel of the Lord told him, Do not lay your hand on them. Abraham was tested to the uttermost. But at the very last second, God intervened. And God said, Stop. And then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked back, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for burnt offering instead of his son. And verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. Years ago, some of you may know this song, Jehovah Jireh. Maybe it should be pronounced Jireh, Jireh. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the month of the Lord, it shall be provided. Now, my dear friends, do I need to say this? Can you not see the sacrifice of God the Father in the giving of His Son to us as we look at this chapter? Can't you see so clearly? the sacrifice of the Father, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that, what? God gave His only begotten Son. God so loved this rebellious world, this unthankful world, this ungrateful world, so much that He gave His only begotten Son. 1 John chapter 4. God is love, and God has sent His only begotten Son into the world. What for? To be the propitiation for our sins. That is the extent of the love of God, that He gave His only begotten Son, His only Son Jesus, to die for our sins. Oh, the sacrifice of the Father, love divine, all love excelling. Only a few days ago, I came across a saying of a most famous Chinese woman writer. She once wrote, "The more one seeks love, the more lonely she will become." Don't you feel for her? And this lady writer was writing about a more famous Chinese woman writer. The more you seek love, the more lonely you become. And then this writer killed herself a year after writing that. How we wish she would know the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful is God's love for us. We do not need to seek love, but in His love He has come not just to seek us. The Son of Man did not just come to seek us, but to die for us. And my dear friends, can't you see Jesus all over this chapter in Genesis? Let us go through this chapter again. Can we not see the obedience of the Son to the Father as Isaac's obedience to Abraham? Can we not see Jesus' willing sacrifice of Himself like Isaac? Can we not see the faith of our Lord Christ as He was facing death, that He believed His Father would be faithful to Him, that His Father would raise Him up from the dead, like Isaac? Oh, don't miss the faith of Isaac. He was not only obedient to his father Abraham, but he believed his father. He believed what his father said to him, "My dear son, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to offer you up a whole burnt offering, but God will raise you up from the dead." And he said, "Amen." Isaac offered himself up to be sacrificed, believing in God's promise to raise him from the dead. And this is the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity. He entrusted Himself to the keeping of His Father. What did our Lord Jesus say before He breathed His last? "Father, into Your hand I commit my spirit." And John's Gospel tells us, time and again, Jesus saw His forthcoming suffering and death as His glorification. "This is my pathway to glory, but it must be through the cross. I'm going to glory, but it must be through the cross. There's no other way but through the cross." Jesus believed in the Father's promise to raise Him. And friends, can we not see Jesus in the ram? What is this ram? As Abraham looked back, he saw this ram, and the ram was used to be offered up as a burnt offering instead of Isaac. What is this? We call this, in systematic theology, substitutionary atonement. Big word. But you understand, substitution. The ram for Isaac. The ram takes the place of Isaac. Atonement, what is that big word? At 1 month. All right? We are alienated from God. How can we be at one with God? We have sinned, we have broken God's law, we have done shameful things. We don't need to mention that in public. How can we be at one with God again? Substitutional at one time. The ram. The Lamb of God. And then can we not see Jesus? In the name of the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, or whatever you pronounce it. The Lord will provide. The Lord will see to himself. What? The Lord will provide his son. To take our place. And even in verse 14, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The mount of the Lord, Mount Moriah, is where Solomon built the temple of the Lord. And the temple of the Lord is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the true temple of the Lord. And to this day, Jewish people will never forget Mount Moriah. There's a Jewish school here, Moriah College. Every year they do well in the Jesse. Oh, not just that. Can we not see the angel of the Lord? That's Christ himself. Look at verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I've sworn, says the Lord." This is interesting here, isn't it? The angel of the Lord, not just an angel, the angel of the Lord spoke, but this is the Lord. So we have the angel of the Lord speaking as the Lord, but the angel of the Lord is distinguished from the Lord, and yet he is the Lord's messenger. What do you call this in theology? Trinity. One more. We see Jesus in the promised seed. Verse 16. The angel of the Lord said to Abraham, "Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemies." Verse 18. Look at it carefully. "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Abraham, in your seed. Who is he? In your seed, Isaac, to start with. But all the way from Isaac, in your seed, Jesus. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now, friends, all the nations of the earth have been blessed. Today, from the rising of the sun to its going down, there are countless millions of believers who will be looking at this passage, rejoicing in their faith, in the Son of God, in the sacrifice of the Father, and the obedience of the Son. So many have been blessed. But have you received the blessing tonight? You say, what blessing? The blessing to have all your sins forgiven, the blessing to be reconciled to God, the blessing to be received into the family of God, the blessing to be able to call God my Father. Have you received these blessings? You ask, how can I have these blessings? By receiving Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, by faith in Christ, the one who was crucified and risen for sinners like you. Is anyone here tonight who is still lingering? Any one of you? Anyone? Are you still holding back? Are you still saying, well, I know about this sort of, but not yet? Don't wait until early tomorrow morning. Right here. Be like Abraham. Go up to Mount Moriah. See Jesus. And cast yourself upon the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I call you, any one of you who may be in this condition tonight. Now is the time. Now shall we pray. O Lord, our God, we pray that your grace will come to grip us, that you will not let anyone here tonight go without laying hold upon Christ, the Lamb of God, the Isaac, the angel of the Lord, the Ram, the whole burnt offering, the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us, and who is risen. Work in the heart of everyone here tonight, that we may know you and know you better and deeper. In Jesus' name. Amen.